Let us take Psalm chapter 22, Irvati Randam Sangirtanam. Let us read it together. Psalm 22, Psalm by David, Irvati Randam Sangirtanam. Let us read each verse out loud. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip, they wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen. You answer me. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust will bow before him. Even he who cannot keep his soul alive, posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They will come and will declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has performed it. Hallelujah. Let us thank God for this psalm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise God for this beautiful morning that he has given us to come together to worship him. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus, Father, for this beautiful morning. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful psalm. We thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, for keeping us alive in this morning. We thank you, Father, for the resurrection power, oh Lord Jesus, that we experience in our life daily, Lord, not just this morning, but every day we experience your resurrection power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for your presence in our life this morning. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your glorious name. Father, Lord Jesus, we come in your presence, Lord, and we ask you, Father, that this morning as we spend time rejoicing and remembering, Father, what it is you have accomplished for us, that we remember, Father, Lord Jesus, that you came to this earth, Father. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, to redeem us, to reconcile us, to bring us back to a place where we can call you up, Father, to call out to you, to say that you are our beloved Father, that you are our Jesus, you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer, you are the one who gave us life, Lord. You brought us from darkness into marvelous life, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for this morning, that we can call you as our Lord and Savior, that we can come into your presence boldly, no longer with fear. Oh Lord Jesus, afraid of our lives, but Lord, with confidence and with boldness, Lord, we can approach your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence this morning. Father, Lord Jesus, we submit the psalm that we just read into your mighty hands, Lord. I pray that you will minister to us, that you will, Lord Jesus, discipline us, that you will encourage us, that you will uplift us as we keep our eyes focused on you. Thank you, Jesus, for your continuous presence in our life. Let your name be glorified today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It is such a blessing for me to be once again before all of you this morning. The whole world is celebrating this day as Easter Sunday. But I thank God that we get to celebrate resurrection every day in our lives. Hallelujah. That we experience the joy of the Lord every day of our lives. Hallelujah. As I was just thinking about what it is that God wanted me to share, and I was reading of this verse, I was thinking of Psalm chapter 22. It's a long psalm. It has 31 verses. So I understand that some of you might be a little bit tired because you read the psalm this morning. But I believe that God is here to speak to us, that there is power in this psalm. This psalm is a psalm that was written by David. It's a psalm that David wrote, and the psalm starts like this: my God, why have you forsaken me? The opening line of this psalm is, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's this cry, this opening line. There is no place in the Old Testament that opens up with a much more cry of despair than this psalm. This verse here is the most despair, the cry of a heart that has experienced intense agony and pain and despair. There are people who have spent time looking at this psalm, but this psalm, when they look at David's life, there doesn't seem to be an experience that makes sense of how David could write this psalm, because there is no personal experience that is recorded in the stories of David that makes David write this psalm. I believe this psalm is a prophetic psalm. I believe it's a psalm that is a messianic psalm. Let us read that verse once again, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Now, this is a word that you might be very familiar with. In the New Testament, there is one person who quotes this. Who is this person? Jesus. On the cross of Calvary, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which is the Aramaic version of this psalm, which says, my God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus is hanging on the cross, when he is being crucified on the cross of Calvary, he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which is the Psalm 22, verse 1 in Aramaic. Now, this psalm, as we continue to read it, as we read the verses, we start seeing that this is a psalm that outlines the crucifixion experience of Jesus. This cry saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, is recorded in all four Gospels. All four Gospels records Jesus as saying this cry. But you see, when Jesus was on the cross and crucified, he did not have the power to recite the whole psalm. He did not have the power to breathe because his whole lungs was burning. This psalm records the experience that Jesus had on the cross. It says his heart melted like wax, that his bones were out of joint, that all his bones could be counted. This was the experience of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. How, you can ask, how did David experience this? How was David able to pen this prophetically? On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter addressing 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, when all the different Jews from all around the Greek world gathered together to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of Pentecost. On that day, Peter gives a mighty sermon that talks about Jesus being God, that Jesus was crucified for their sins. But then he talks about David in Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 33. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 33. Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 33. It reads like this. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Peter recognized that David was a prophet. He was not just a king. He was not just a shepherd. He had a prophetic voice. This psalm records a prophetic voice of David. You see, when we read the stories of David, there is no experience of David having this kind of humiliation. There is no experience of David experiencing this kind of agony. This psalm, Psalm chapter 22, is in the New Testament, it is referred to 24 times. 24 times. 24 prasham ee sangeerthanam. പുതിയ നിയമത്തിൽ നമ്മൾ അത് റെഫർ ചെയ്യുന്നതായിട്ട് നമ്മൾ കാണുന്നുണ്ട്. വി സി 24 ടൈംസ് ലിസ്റ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദ ന്യൂ ടെസ്റ്റമെന്റ് ഫ്രം സാം ചാപ്റ്റർ 22. ബിക്കോസ് ആൻഡ് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് 18 ടൈംസ് ദ സാം ഈസ് റെഫർഡ് ഇൻ ദ ഗോസ്പൽസ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ടൈഡ് ഇൻ വിത്ത് ദ ക്രൂസിഫിക്ഷൻ. ലെറ്റ് അസ് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദിസ് ഇൻ ഡീറ്റെയിൽ. So let's just look at a couple of these verses. Psalm chapter 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. Mark chapter 15, verse 34. We don't have time to take it. But if you're taking notes, you can look at them. Mark chapter 15, verse 34. In verse 7, we see, all who see me sneer at me. Psalm chapter 22, verse 7. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag their head. This is again recorded in the Gospels. It is said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 39, and Mark chapter 15, verse 29. They quote the psalm saying that the people who were around Jesus and seeing Jesus crucified just were shaking their head and looking at Jesus and sneering at him, mocking him. Verse 8, it says, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. They mocked him with these words. These words are used in Matthew chapter 27, verse 43. The people who were surrounding him, the Pharisees and the people who were mocking him, the Sanhedrin, the people that he rescued, the people that he came to love and save, those people are around Jesus and they're mocking him. Yeah, he saved other people. Why can't he save himself? He says he trusts in the Lord. Why doesn't God save him? Verse 18, it reads like this. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. All the four Gospels record this. Matthew 27, verse 35. Mark 15, verse 24. Luke 23, verse 34. John 19, verse 24. Records that Jesus, that the soldiers tore Jesus' robe and threw lots so that they could choose which cloth they could have. So this is a psalm that is prophetically referring to Jesus' experience in the cross, Jesus' experience of crucifixion. This psalm was written years, hundreds of years before Jesus walked to the cross. This psalm was written many years before Jesus even quoted it. The reason why Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, is because Jesus was saying that this is the psalm that I wanted to say. When Jesus said on the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, do you know what some people from the crowd said? They said that he's calling Elijah. That he's calling some prophet. You know why? Because the Pharisees, who knew the Gospels and knew the scripture, knew that Jesus was quoting Psalm 22. യേശു എല്ലോയ് എല്ലോയ് ലമ സബക്താനി എന്ന് വിളിച്ച് പറഞ്ഞപ്പോൾ, ക്രൂശിന്മേൽ വിളിച്ച് പറഞ്ഞപ്പോൾ പെരശിയ ആൾക്കാര് അവിടെ മനസ്സിലായി ഇത് 22-ാം സങ്കീർത്തനം യേശു അവിടെ പറയുവാണെന്ന്. But when they looked around, they saw that Psalm 22 was literally being fulfilled in their eyes. They knew the scripture. So when they looked at Psalm 22, they saw that, yes, the full Psalm 22 is being fulfilled before them in the life of Jesus. So they tried to distract the crowd from seeing that Jesus is not really quoting Psalm 22. He's calling Elijah. He's calling someone else. He's not, so they wanted to distract people from what Jesus was calling attention towards. You know, but that's not all. That's not all. The psalm, in the end, in Psalm, just let's turn our Bible, Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22 verse 31. This is the last verse of Psalm chapter 22, Psalm 22 verse 31. They will come and will declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has performed it. That last vakim, that last verse, that last line, that he has performed it. In Hebrew, it is not literally he has performed it. It means he has finished. It is finished. You see, Jesus, right before he died, what did he say? It is finished. It is finished. He quoted Psalm chapter 22, verse 1 on the cross, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And then he said in Psalm chapter 22, verse 31, the last verse he quoted, it is finished, because he was quoting the whole psalm. You see, when we look at this psalm can be divided into three different parts. Psalm chapter 1, Psalm chapter 22, verse 1 to verse 11 is the first part. Verse 12 to verse 21 is the second part. Verses 22 to verse 31 is the third part. This first two part of the psalm is talking about great agony, pain, and lament. It is about Jesus Christ experiencing deep pain and sorrow. But even before Jesus was born, hundreds of years, people sang this psalm talking about, God, why have you forsaken me? It is maybe an experience that you may have experienced in your life. Maybe you have experienced, God, why am I experiencing this in my life? Maybe you're going through some difficult season and you're feeling that God is not with you. Maybe you're experiencing a season where you're feeling that, God, you promised that you will be with me, but I feel so darkness. I feel so much pain. I feel so much agony. God, where are you in the midst of this? God, have you forsaken me? And that was the cry that Jesus cried out from the cross. You know, we sing the song, the Father turned his face away. As wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory. So in that song, we see that Jesus took the entire sins of humanity, and he experienced, him being God, experienced the forsakenness, the loneliness, the separation that comes with sin. Because what does sin do? It separates us from God. It prevents us from coming back to God. So Jesus on the cross of Calvary feels forsaken because of this. But I want you to come to a point. As we continue reading this psalm and we read the beauty of this psalm, we see that Jesus is experiencing this agony. But let's come to verse 21. That's where the verse changes. Suddenly, there's a complete shift in the tone of the psalm. It says, save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, you answer me. You see, some English translations don't capture this really well. In Malayalam, it is said, Uttram terunu, or you're giving me an answer, which means you have heard me. That is what is recorded in the Hebrew. So if you have the NIV or even the ESV translations, it seems that it says, you answered me from the horns of the wild oxen. That's not what the Hebrew Bible teaches us. It says, from the horns of the wild oxen, stop. You answered me, or you heard me. There might be an asterisk or a footnote on our English Bible, and if you go down to it, you will see in Hebrew it says, you answered or you heard me. The reason why I'm saying this is because, you see, Jesus is starting out saying, God, you have forsaken me. Have you abandoned me? But in verse 21, he realizes that God did not abandon him. That God heard him, even in the midst of his sin, even in the midst of the pain of the cross, even in the midst of the agony, even though he felt like he was surrounded by dogs, lions, and bulls of Bashan, he's surrounded by demonic forces, he's surrounded by his soldiers, he's surrounded by the Pharisees, he's surrounded by his mockers, he's surrounded by the people who scorn him, all around, everyone he looks, the people that he saved, the people that he came to save, the people that he healed, the people that he rescued, the people whom he loved, had betrayed him and abandoned him on the cross of Calvary, but God had not abandoned him. God had not forsaken him, because in verse 21 we see that God has answered him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God heard Jesus. God the Father heard Jesus on the cross of Calvary. You see, this morning, no matter what your circumstance that you're going through, no matter how forsaken you might experience in your present circumstance, let me remind you that Jesus went on the cross of Calvary and experienced our sin and experienced our agony, so that we will never have to feel separated from God the Father again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we never have to experience this sort of forsakenness again. We never have to cry out, say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because our God never forsakes us. That is the promise in the New Testament, that he will be with us to the end of the age. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. As we continue reading from verses 22, verses 1 to 21, the verses are so dark and filled with despair and agony. But verses 22 to 31 is a psalm of victory. It's a psalm of declaring God's victory. It is a psalm that is establishing the resurrected King. It is establishing that Jesus is the Lord. You see, Jesus could not quote the whole psalm on the cross because he could barely breathe. When he was going up and down the cross, his back is being rubbed against the wooden cross. He's in so much pain and agony that he doesn't have the breath to recite this whole psalm. But he recites Psalm 22 verse 1, and he recites Psalm 22 verse 31, believing that on the final moments on this cross, he was reciting this psalm as a fulfillment of what God has accomplished on the crucifixion. You see, when we look at the cross, we often think of the pain and agony that Jesus experienced. Many people on Good Friday or Dukkha Veliyarcha, they meditate on this. But you see, when Jesus died, he did not die in pain, sorrow, or agony. He experienced pain and agony, but he died in victory. When he said it is finished, he crushed the enemy's head. It was not an event of shame. It was an event of victory. He crushed the enemy's head. It's not something that we have to be ashamed of. The reason why Christians for all time have used the symbol of the cross to show that they are Christian is because the cross is not a sign of shame. It's a sign of victory. Let me say that again. If the cross is where our Savior was crucified, shouldn't it be a sign of shame for us? But to this day, when we enter churches of all kinds, there is some cross somewhere. Why? Because it's not a sign of shame. It's a sign of victory. Psalm 22 shows us that in the end time when Jesus was on the cross, he was not experiencing the agony that he started out with. He ends saying, it is finished. He has done it. He has accomplished it. He has finished. He has accomplished it. He's finished the scripture. That is why when we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, you don't have to take it. Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus is walking towards Emmaus. He He's walking towards to Emmaus with his two disciples that seem to be walked away. And they're walking away. And two disciples says, you know, there was some woman who came and walked to the cross and said that something happened, but we don't know what happened. There's some disciples went running to the and they didn't find the body of Jesus. But these people, they have no hope in resurrection. They have lost all hope. These were disciples, but they felt like Jesus is not coming back. So they're walking towards Emmaus. They've given up. And this stranger comes walking along with them and opens up the scriptures, the law of the Moses and the prophets, and starts talking how the resurrection and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, of the Messiah, was meant to be and fulfilled in scriptures. This psalm just declares that the Old Testament completely talks about Jesus as being the fulfillment of scripture. Psalm 22, there is years before crucifixion even came on the scene, years before the Romans devised this torture device, David wrote this prophetically, something that nobody has experienced in their life, the crucifixion. David wrote down prophetically, promising that Jesus would go through this. But it's not a psalm that ends in sadness. It starts with despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? But it ends with victory, saying, it is finished. All people everywhere will bow down and worship him. When we say, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, there is this hymn by Charles Wesley. He writes this hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" I don't know if you know that hymn. It goes like this. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? God died for us. Amazing love, how can it be? What should we gain by the Savior's blood? We gain everything. We have gained newness of life. If this morning, any of you are experiencing forsakenness, if this cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, is an experience you're experiencing this morning, let me remind you that it will end with victory. Maybe you're experiencing despair. Maybe you're experiencing anxiety. Maybe you're experiencing some sort of situation where you feel like, God, why am I going through this? Why is my circumstance like this? But let me remind you, if God the Father did not spare his only begotten Son so that we can be joined to him, why would he abandon us now? He will never abandon us nor leave us. Let us take these words of hope. Let us take these words of joy, this words of victory, this morning when the whole world celebrates Easter Sunday, this psalm talks about Jesus as being the victorious king. He accomplished it so that we can gain victory in his life. Let's bow our heads. Let's thank Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your life. We thank you, Jesus, for what you have accomplished on the cross. You experienced so much pain. You experienced so much pain and agony on the cross, physical pain, even mental and emotional pain. It said that, Lord, that your heart was, you were depressed to the point of death in the Garden of Gethsemane. And yet, Lord, you stayed the course. You accomplished it. You did the will of the Father. And now we are joined to the Father again. Never again do we Christians ever have to say, why have you forsaken me? Because you will never leave us nor abandon us. You have given us the Holy Spirit, who is a steadfast counselor, an ever-present help in trouble. You have given yourself to us without restraint. Father, you have given the most important thing to you, the only begotten Son, to us, because you loved us so much. Lord, we remember your love this morning. I pray that this victory will continue to be a theme in our lives and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. May God continue to bless you all with these words.